Hebrews 13. Well, we made it through 2023. It's been kind of a rough one, hasn't it? Been a lot of heartache and a lot of struggles, a lot of hard times. There's also been good days. And I just want to challenge you this morning that we could finish this year on a high note. If you are here and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, right now, you don't have to wait for anything else. Amen. And there's no need to wait till we can finish this year as a Christian. If you'll just call out to God right now and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sin. And I put my trust in you and ask you to forgive my sin and save my soul. Would you put your trust in him now? You could finish the year with baptism. Now, I'd probably wait till this evening because we didn't warm the water up. We don't have anybody on the schedule. But I'll get in there if you want to. We'll get in the cold water and we'll baptize you. But it's a good day for you to get baptized today. Total surrender. Bury your past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. And this is your opportunity, right? We can do it today if that's what if that's the one thing you say, you know, I really want to do that. Well, let's do it today. Or you can at least make the decision today. We'll warm up the baptistry and do it later. It's up to you. I'll get in there cold. I don't care. But it's now. Why are we waiting? You're going to start a diet tomorrow? You're going to try to eat all the chocolate that's in the house today and get all the ice cream eaten up today? I mean, some of us are going to eat it all anyway, but we're going to buy some more tomorrow. But these resolutions, somebody said, what's a New Year's resolution? Says, well, it's really just a plan for the first week of January. That's all it is. But could you finish the year as a child of God? You could, right now. Could you finish the year having been baptized and become part of a local church? You could today, right now. You don't have to wait. And so I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to start fresh in the year with the Lord, to renew your commitment, to renew your devotion, to say to God today, I'm already saved, I'm already baptized, I'm a member of this church, and I love my church. God, I commit to you right now that I want to serve you. I want to do better in 2024. I want to do more. I want to do what's right. And I don't know what 2024 is going to bring, but God, I'm committing myself. I'm surrendering myself to you. Would you do that now? We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. We can do it now. I'm not staying up till midnight. I'm going to go to bed. Well, I might, maybe 11:30, but I'm not going to wait up and shoot off fireworks at 12 o'clock. My neighbors will do that. I'm sure they will. And probably some of yours will too. But I come to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1. And as he writes here, he says, let brotherly love continue. There's some things that we want to leave behind, don't we? And this year we go, I'm glad this year's over. And then we look to next year and we say, we want to do some good things. We want to do some new things. But as the writer here says, let some things continue. There are some things we ought to carry into the next year. Into the new year. We ought to keep with us. And the first thing we say is, let brotherly love continue. I'm glad to be part of a good church, aren't you? Where people love each other. I look back and I always think the biggest to me, Brother Andy, is when we came to Center Point when you were there with your foot. And I was there and it wasn't long till I think it was the Veals came in and somebody else came. I don't remember, but it seemed like there was a crowd that was gathered in your room to visit. Why? Because we love our brother. And that's how it ought to be. I love running into other people that are doing visitation while I'm doing visitation. I was overseeing Brother Kinsey the other day, and then come Sister Linda. So I enjoy visitation, but I especially enjoy it when I run into other people. And it's good to have a church that loves each other. And let brotherly love continue. Love one another well. Look at verse number 2. Not just those that we love, the brothers, but look at verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, the people that we don't know. In fact, he says it could be an angel. Thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And I'm very mindful of this verse. Sometimes if I'm driving down the road and I see somebody out there, asking for help, If I don't stop, I get down, I look in the mirror just to make sure they're still there. Just to make sure it wasn't an angel, that God was testing me to see if I had compassion in my heart, if I loved them, if I was willing to reach out to a stranger and help them in their need. He says we need to be mindful of strangers also. And then in verse number 3, he says this. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. You know, when we think about those who are in bonds, a lot of times we'll think of somebody who's in prison or somebody who's being held hostage. And in reality, we've got people around the world that we're praying for now, the hostages that are being held, and those who are in prison and those who are in jail. But you know, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that when we talk about bonds. How about shut-ins? They're bound, aren't they? They can't get out, can't go anywhere. Are we mindful of them? I think of other situations. How about this? How about a caregiver? A caregiver who's there taking care of someone that they can't just leave them alone. And you know, but they would love to have some interaction and some fellowship and some visitation also. Or maybe come in and sit with that loved one so that they can get out and go somewhere. And I appreciate people in our church that do that. But he's telling all of us to be mindful of those who are in bonds. How about those who are in the hospital? Is it good to get visits when you're in the hospital? I remember having surgery one time, looked up, there was Brother Ronnie and Brother Jimmy. And you remember that, Brother Jimmy? You don't remember what I said to you? I said, thanks for coming, get out. not quite as far as Sister Bobby, right? Sister Bobby left a note at the desk, said, don't let the preacher in. But that's the kind of fellowship. Look, I'm thankful for my brothers. I'm thankful for our church that will come and visit us when we're in need. Whether it's a real need or a perceived need, it was good. I wasn't trying to be ugly. I love those guys. But I was in the hospital. I didn't want to be a mess with. And sometimes that's the case. But we ought to at least reach out to people when they're in the hospital and try to love them. And then this one. How about this? Nursing homes. Today, Sister Gladys's birthday. Anybody thought about going up there to see her on her birthday in the nursing home? I know her memory's gone, but you ought to see her face light up when you show up. And she'd say, oh, you monkey. That's what she calls me. But we have a good visit. And the truth is, like many of the nursing home visits, 10 minutes later, they don't even know I've been there. In fact, she'll fuss and say, you tell the preacher to come up here. But for that moment, she's loved, and she knows she hasn't been forgotten. And the writer here is telling us, don't forget about them. Remember them that are in bonds. And hit this, as bound with them. What does that say? Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. Really, here you are, whether it's a hospital or nursing home or shut in at home, and you love, you got all these friends and all these people that you love. Do they come around? Do they call? Do they check on you? Guys, this is not an indictment about what we've done in the past. Remember, we're looking toward a new year, and I'm saying let's take it up. Let's take the challenge that the Bible's given us. Let's take the instruction that the Bible's given us, and let's live up to it. You know, this could be the year that we stand before God. We might stand before God and answer for our lives of what we've done with what He's trusted us with. He's entrusted us with a church, with people to love and to care for, and strangers to reach out to and love also. So what are we doing with that? Let me ask you, what would you do? And don't answer this out loud. What would you do if I gave you $1 million? Could I trust you with $1 million? That you would do the right, just nod your head yes or say no. No, don't give it to me. But what would you do with it? You know what God's given us? God has entrusted us with His Word, with His ministry. He's put it in our stewardship and said, do something with it. Do something with the church. Do something with the gospel. Do something with the love and the kindness that I've given you. So remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And just consider what it'd be like if you were in their shoes and somebody showed up just to say hi. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have all the answers to the Bible. You don't have to have a degree or a PhD or any of that. All you've got to do is love and just walk in there and just say, I just came to check on you. That's all. and let them talk. Let them tell you their story. Let them talk about, you know, let them ask you questions. Let them ask you those questions again and again and again. But just be there. So they know you care. So they know they're not forgotten. That's it. It's not hard. But we need to do it. Consider how wonderful it is to be remembered. And then also he said, we're just in verse 3. He said, also them which suffer adversity. I know that it's hard. I mean, I'm the pastor and it's still hard for me to know what to do when people are suffering. The heartache of the loss of a loved one is deep and it just doesn't go away. When you're suffering through an illness, battling through it, the answers aren't there. Got a call this week. I've got to be out of my place by the end of the month, which is today. I got nowhere to go. I've got nobody. Pray for me. I mean, what can you do? Well, one thing we can do is not forget about those that are suffering adversity. We might not be able to pay their rent or you know, provide them a place to live. Maybe you can. If that's the case, let me know. I'll let them know. But there are situations in people's lives we're not aware of. We have no idea most of you don't know what's going on in other people's lives. You're sitting in the same room with them, and they're going through struggles, and you don't even know about it. It's not an indictment. I'm not mad, and I'm not criticizing you. But we ought to be praying for everybody in our church. Because trust me, there's a lot of stuff going on among the people. We can be a friend and we can be an encouragement. You know what's so good is come to church and smile and love and hug and laugh. By the way, I know some of you, it's hard for you to do those things because you're the one struggling. But it'd be good for you if you just be around other people. So many times when we're suffering, we just hide away. We don't want anybody to know that we're going through it, and so we just lock ourselves away. That doesn't make it better. It doesn't. Push yourself to get out, especially here among people that love you, especially here, where you're not being judged and put down and criticized, but built up and encouraged. Well, he talks about suffering and adversity, and then what does he mention in verse 4? Marriage. You think that was an accident? I thought about that joke and I thought, Derek, you shouldn't tell it. You shouldn't say that. But it's right there, isn't it? Look at verse 4. He said, marriage is honorable in all. You know what he's saying in verse 4? He said, enjoy your marriage. I said last year, as I look about our church, and I see the survivors whose spouses have already gone to heaven. And then I look about and I say, some of the rest of us are going to experience that. And I have compassion. And I love you. But we need to honor and enjoy our marriage every day. Because at some point it's going to be gone. And that's what he's saying here in verse number 4. Verse number 5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. What does that mean? It means that we shouldn't be possessed by possessions. How many of you have good stuff? I was talking to a brother just before church, and I said, how was your Christmas? He said, I got stuff I didn't want. I mean, that's almost always the case. By the way, I could use some new ties, but I didn't get any for Christmas this year, and that's fine. That's okay. I've got enough. But, you know, a lot of times people, Christmas, can I just tell you, it annoys me that the biggest focus for a lot of these organizations at Christmas time is giving kids stuff. Let's get them bicycles. Oh, you did a great thing. Well, they might not even need a bicycle. But we're so focused on giving kids toys and stuff because we don't want them to go unnoticed. And Guys, there's nothing wrong with toys and there's nothing wrong with stuff, but that should not be the focus, especially for a church at Christmas. And I appreciate, now look, I'm not criticizing our program. Our program is teaching the kids to give, okay? Not to receive, but teaching them to give. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But Christmas is not about toys. Christmas is about Jesus. It's about the birth of our Savior. And it should be about that. And even beyond that, it should be about family and about love and about celebration. Not about stuff. But we make it so much about stuff. And that's what verse 5, let your conversation or your life be without covetousness, wanting what everybody else has got. How many of you know somebody that's trying to keep up with the Joneses? Man, they got to have this. They got to have that. They didn't even think about it till somebody else had it. Now they got to have it. Let me tell you something. Stuff should not matter that much to us. Nothing wrong with having stuff. But we shouldn't be possessed by possessions. We shouldn't live for stuff. Look at verse 14. He says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We should be living for eternity, living for Jesus, looking beyond the stuff. I don't know about you, but I've at least once a year, I take stuff to the dump, to the garbage. Some of it's even still working and it's still good. I just want it out of my house. It's too much stuff. I give stuff away just like all of you do. Give stuff away if I don't need it, if I'm not using it. Of course, then the next week I need it. That's usually how it works. But don't be possessed by stuff. We should be living for eternity, living for heaven, living for Jesus. Look at verse 5. He says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, he said, he'll never leave us. We talked about David in Sunday school. You know what David forgot? David forgot the Lord was there. David forgot the Lord was watching. David forgot the Lord knew. Yeah. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You say, well, that's kind of creepy. No, not if you're doing the right stuff. It's not. He's right there with us. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. So we will not fear what man shall do unto me. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to have integrity. Not going to compromise. Not going to vacillate on what's right and what's wrong. What's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And we're not going to be moved on that, right? I'm not going to fear. Well, but if I do this, I might get fired. Then get fired. Lord, I have something for you. If you get fired for the right reason. Well, but my friends might forsake me. That's fine. God's got some new friends if it's for the right reasons. We can't let other peer pressure dictate whether we're going to live for God or not. We've got to live for God. We've got to do the right thing. The Lord is my helper. So you say, well, if I do that, I might compromise my economic situation. The Lord is my helper. Just do the right thing. That's what he's saying. Verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Look at verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. I know it's hard for you to understand. You've not been in that situation. We see people come in and out of church, and for you that may be, well, you know, they moved on. But for a pastor that takes his role to heart, it's like a stab right in the heart every time. Even for those, to be honest with you, that when they leave, they make church better. There are people that have done that. They have left and made everything better. But still as a pastor. Jesus, when he was talking to the Lord in his prayer, he said, Father, I have lost none of them save the son of perdition. You see, as the pastor of that first church, Jesus said, I didn't lose any of them except that one that was a devil from the beginning. And when he said that, it was important to him that he had gathered his church. They were his people. I hope you don't take wrong the terminology that the Lord used in that verse. He said, they that have the rule over you. I've never tried to be a boss in this church, but a servant. But see, we need to understand that the pastor of the church, the teacher of the Scripture, will stand before God and give an account. And the Bible says we'll be held doubly responsible. Do you believe that? Doubly responsible. So yes, it's very careful in what we teach. But what he's saying to us this morning is, remember them. Remember them. Remember them. Look, we've got a job to do. I would never intentionally lead you astray. I always hold close to Scripture. And you know, some of you have asked questions and I say, oh, I don't know, let me look it up. And I'll dig in there and I'll spend a lot of time trying to get the biblical answer to your question, because I don't want to give you the wrong answer. I don't want to lead you astray. It's a very important role that the pastor has, spiritual leaders have. Go to verse 9, if you will. He said, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. There are a lot of fads out there, aren't they? Let me ask you a question. Have those of you who have been here for almost 19 years that I've been here, has Capitol Heights Baptist Church changed a lot in what we do? I mean, the faces have changed, the people have changed, but we sing hymns, we have piano music, and we preach the Bible. We have prayer time and sometimes testimony time. It hasn't changed, has it? Have we changed our doctrine? No, we preach the Bible. We say it just like it is. By the way, if I need to change something, I don't mind saying I was wrong. I need to change. But we're not going to go with the fads. We're not going to change with the times. We're not, you know, every once in a while, especially over the last couple of weeks with the holidays, I thought, you know, I don't really feel like putting a suit on to go to church. I think I'll just go in, you know, a polo shirt and jeans. And you know what a lot of people tell me? Say, oh, Pastor, it's okay. It doesn't matter how you dress. I went to a wedding not long ago. Outdoor, just three or four of us. I put my suit, my tie on, and I went out there on the edge of the water and I performed a wedding. Oh, we should have told you you didn't have to dress up. This is what I wear. This is what I wear. Now, you see me when I'm not at church. You can see me in jeans, T-shirt, you know, whatever. But when I'm at church, especially if I'm taking this pulpit, I'll be in this. And I think about compromising every once in a while. But I don't like change. And I don't want to ever give you the idea that I've changed. I'm going to stick to it. And by the way, there's nowhere in the Bible says I got to wear ties. The most ridiculous thing we ever started. But it's a pretty tie, isn't it? Or a jacket. The Bible didn't say I got to wear a jacket. But it's our tradition. And so I will maintain that tradition because I think it means, I know it means a lot to some people. And I want to be a good example. And I don't want it to become a distraction. Because I'm up here in flip-flops and jeans with holes in them. Y'all know how much I love flip-flops anyway. Don't follow religious trends and fads. Hold to the Word. Look at verse 9. Let's finish it. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. By the way, I'm not criticizing you for you're wearing jeans and flip-flops. As long as you don't get up in church and flip, flip, flip all the way through the service. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profit. Look, our hearts are, again, they're based in the Word. Our faith is based in the Word. We ought to be in the Word. We ought to be in the Lord. Hold to Jesus, because He never changes. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Can God forgive the sins of the past? Yes. Can He forgive the sins of today? Yes. Can He forgive the sins of tomorrow? Yes. He never changes. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. He's not giving up on you. Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus knows me. This I love. He's right here. Look, the Lord's got us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. That's what he meant when he said, don't be covetous. Rest in the Lord. In verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Are we thankful to God? Have you said thank you to God? Have you looked at your blessings again? This is an idea. I didn't come up with it, but it's a great thing. What if we only had today what we thank God for yesterday? That'd be something, wouldn't it? Are we thankful? Verse 16, and we'll finish here. Do good and communicate. Forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Do good and communicate. What is communication? Well, here he's talking about prayer. Prayer. The instruction of Hebrews 13 is all about relationships. Right? He talked about how we are in church with our pastor. He talked about our marriages. He talked about how we are with others. He talked about the brothers. He talked about the strangers. It's all, Christianity is about relationships. The Ten Commandments, relationships. It's all about relationships. He said, be careful how we communicate. Look at what he says. Christianity is founded and measured by relationships. Would you say that's true? Founded and measured by relationships. Are you a good Christian? Well, I know the books of the Bible. Well, that's good. How do you treat people? Well, I go to church every Sunday. Okay, that's good. How do you treat people? Are you good to your family? Are you good to people that can't do anything for you? It's all about relationships. Our relationship with the Lord, prayers and praise and love and honor. With our friends and family, love and communication. And with strangers, compassion and communication. It's not just what we say, but how we say it. And it's also about our willingness to listen. Just to listen. Just to hear. Can we do that? Every one of us in here could do that. Let me challenge you this morning for the coming year. Let's see if we can live up to Hebrews 13. Would you stand? Father, we thank you for your blessings and for your instruction this morning from your word. And we pray that you will draw us to you. That each one of us will renew in our hearts our commitment, our surrender, our acceptance for all that you have for us. God, make each of us and all of us together what you'd have us to be. Yes, there are many in our congregation that are struggling, suffering adversity, in bonds. God, help us to look beyond our own problems and be ministers to those who need us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. You want to come and kneel and pray? This is your opportunity. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to. But where you are, from your heart to God's heart, you could tell him all about it. If it's salvation, God, forgive my sins. I put my trust in you. I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. God, forgive my sins. If it's baptism, you don't really have to pray about it except which church to be baptized in. But if you're saved, you ought to get baptized. Maybe it's any of these things or all of these things we talked about this morning. You've seen what you could do with your life. Are you ready to see what God could do with it? This is your opportunity.